Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer and God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, and even in these moments, God, we've positioned ourselves, assembled together as you have commanded us, the church, to be the assembled body of believers before you. So honor yourself. God, you were yesterday, you were there, and you're already there tomorrow. So help us who are here that we might be able to benefit from yesterday and be anticipating correctly tomorrow. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. If you can just imagine, if you would, if you could take your imagination and consider yourself back those many years ago, 1776, think of yourself as a bunch of people, humans, citizens of these 13 colonies, and there you are. And here are the British doing all that they're doing, and we have been 156 years since the Pilgrims, etc., and here we are. Now, having said that, what are we to be understanding? What do you think? What should they, did they understand? Could they understand? A, they knew, they certainly knew God's word to a point, very much so, perhaps even more than they do today, even though we have all of the benefits. And Israel was in Egypt in bondage, and God rescued them from that bondage by the Exodus, and they had an appointment with God at Mount Sinai. They were in the wilderness, and God moved them from the wilderness into the land of promise. God did that. Israel enjoyed in the days following Jerusalem, the temple, but enjoying Jerusalem and the temple, ended up in Babylon, and the temple was down, and the city was down. So, we come along to our Lord in the church history, if I can, and in the light of church history, what do we have? Well, we have the wonderful, wonderful bondage of Judaism, a Roman power by way of Caesar. And then you've got the wonderful good news by way of our Lord to believe. And they, many, many believed, and God rescued them. And they were all caught up or surrounded by Rome, Herod, the Jews, Pharisees, etc., having all of those things all around them in every way, shape, and form, being surrounded. They were able to go, and God, they assembled, day of Pentecost, and God rescued them. And in a moment of time, God took them from this world, citizens of this world, to be citizens of heaven. And God did a wonderful thing on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. And they enjoyed a wonderful what? Deliverance from the world. The world that was all around, the world was in them, the world was around them. And they were delivered from that world. Now, having said that, we move through history. And history doesn't do well, as it always doesn't. The world system doesn't want to include God. It excludes God. So here's the world system. We come along. And the world system is not good. And therefore, the believers that are trying to believe, and the Bible has been made available in print so that they could have a copy of the Bible, etc. And they had that. And the believers ended up trying to believe, but the system didn't want to allow them to believe, not in the way they needed to trust God 1,000%. And therefore, the pilgrims ended up coming over to America. What were they doing coming over to America? They were trying to get out of the bondage of Europe, et cetera, et cetera, and find freedom. What did they want freedom for? To read the Bible, to practice the Bible, to honor the God of the Bible. That's what they wanted. That's what they were looking for, the God of the Bible, in a most wonderful way. So now, therefore, here's America, and America, as it always did, all the schools, Harvard, Dartmouth, all of them, were what? All about believers. That's what they were about. You wanted to go to college, you wanted to go to general school. What did you do in general school? You went there, the reader, and the, you read. How did you read? Learn to read by way of the Bible, etc. What did you do when you went to Harvard in that? To prepare for, to be indoctrinated in God's word, etc. All of it turned, of course, ultimately. But that was it all about. So in the beginning, America had a wonderful start, but then it went downhill. Went downhill. And so in going downhill, the English were not too happy. And so in the process, in that period, in 740, plus or minus, you have all of the wonderful revival in this country, in the 13 colonies. And you have Wesley and Whitfield, Edwards, you have them all. And they line up, and they did their wonderful work. And there was a wonderful revival. That revival refreshed, renewed, revigorated our country. In the meanwhile, England is putting pressure on. So, having been revived and reawakened by way of the founding fathers, the pilgrims, etc. And so here in the lives, they're going to try to live their lives and enjoy their lives under the grace of God, but the British are not too happy with that at all. The king, King George III, is not happy at all. And therefore, we can't have that happening. So God's mercy and grace and everything, we need to get back to the king, back to the homeland, England, etc. And of course, that was not easily looked to. Because, why? They have been able to practice what? To read their Bible. They could go to assemble to worship. They could practice good law and order. They did all of these wonderful things. They had home ownership. They could own things. They could personally own something. Communism, etc., doesn't allow that. Doesn't allow the system. You can't. The system owns everything. Companies, etc. You work for them. You live for them. They'll take care of you. Now, so here they are. They have all of these awesome freedoms that aren't found in Europe. You won't find them among the kings, the serfs, etc. You won't find them. Nope. No, not like that. It's pretty important to be able to have your own car, you see. Your own refrigerator. I mean, wow. Your own food in it. How's that? Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and so in the second, in Virginia, second convention, the things are acting up and the British are there and they're there on they're landing in boats and lots and lots of them, lots and lots. And they're piling up. They don't want to lose. They don't want to lose what they started in Lexington and all of that. And so, therefore, here they are. And so, Patrick Henry in Virginia made that wonderful statement when all of this was transitioned. Said, "Are we going to be able to have our own home, our own garden, our own produce, our own business? Are we able, or are we going to give it up to the king, to the system, that which we have been raised in, came from over in England? And they had Americans. That's when Patrick Henry, among other things, stood up and said, give me liberty, and you know it, or give me death. One or the other. One or the other. So it's treason. Then let it be treason, and let us die for it. Now, hang on. If I can get the morning right, the evening will pick it all up. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking. And here's the, and so what do they do? Well, they're going to go and say it quickly. In the light of it, they're forced to make a decision. Here's the British sitting there waiting, coming. And here's Lexington back there a little while ago, earlier, in April of 75, back there. And in the process, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to go, and they draw up a declaration. And they draw up a declaration, and the results of that declaration. And that declaration is going to be influenced by God, by the Judeo-Christian background, because they're reading the Bible. They've been revived and everything. And there's a real, what's the key? What's common among the 13 colonies? God. God's Bible, the Word. Evolution? No. Mormonism? No. No. Christian Science? No. No, just the Bible. Catholicism, well, that's there, but that isn't the issue. No, the Bible. Now, so having said that, and in the process of having said that, and keeping that in mind, so they're going to go and do the Bible. And in the process of doing the Bible, you need this part. And they have Thomas Jefferson going to go, etc. And he's going to go and be commissioned to write a declaration. And in the process of that, this is a copy in Jefferson's handwriting of the declaration. And by the way, and Ben Franklin and etc. are going to go and mark it up. This is the original writing, copy of it, and then the little questions they put or the changes they put, and it's all there. That's the thing. Now, when that document was ready, they went and then presented it to the Congress, to the people that were there, the 55 people that were going to be there, or 56. And then they ended up and they did this declaration. And here's a copy, and you know it. Here's a copy of the declaration. Declaration. That's just a piece of paper, isn't it? Just a piece of paper. See? Piece of paper. That's the handle. That's a piece of paper, and they're all going to sign it. Piece of paper. I've done these things. And standing up for stuff, I've had to head sign. Will you sign the name? I will. Put your name on the line. I will. Put your name on the line. Where do you stand? Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and then out of it, of course, we are unable to carry one of these and don't need to. What we're able to do is take these little Constitution and Declaration. See how small it is? That's the foundation of the country. Right there. Now hang on. It'll come together, I hope, like it never has. Hopefully. Now, so in the process, here's our declaration, and we're looking to God in the Judeo-Christian background that comes from Bible, reading the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. That's what they're doing. Then they're pursuing God and looking for God. Now, in the process, here's the declaration, a little declaration that we have, and in this, Now, this is in, they're going to sign this July 4th, 1776. Now, what are they signing? I'll read the part of it. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America powers. Then, the separation, the separation and equal station of which the laws of nature, I'm going to help you in the, just read it. The law, what's, and this is according to Webster, 1881. And back, way back there. And remember, Webster's the dictionary, and he picks up all the language. What's there? What language do they use? Well, how would the, what do words mean to us? What do words mean to them? English language. So here, therefore, we separate and equal, the separate and equal stations, each of the 13 colonies, to which the laws of nature, that is, the to comprehend, when you say the laws of nature, you're comprehending all the works of God, and if you wanted a word, the universe, all that God has created. The laws of nature, all that God has created. Okay. Because, we're separating because, all the laws that God has created. And to which the laws of nature, etc. And of nature's God, who created everything, God did. That's what it said. God did the creating. God did. There's no question. What are we doing? We're looking to God. We're looking to God who created everything, birds, bugs, bees, and kings and rulers. We're looking to them. And he, nature's God. And then, and that's isn't going to, isn't reading too well because I keep saying things. The laws of nature, all the works of God, and the entire, and the nature, and all the works of God, and nature, the and the nature's God, I should say, entitle them, and the nature, God, and his, everything he created, entitle them a decent and respect of opinions, and that means the word opinion means to be thinking in your mind what you think, what you're forming in your thoughts. So they're free. 13 colonies are free in the light of God, who created everything, to think, to have all kinds of thinking. In over where we were, we couldn't do that. No, we'd get arrested, even killed. But not now. You can think what you want. In the light of God's creative, he's giving you the right to think, etc. In the light, in a decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires, that's, we're going to say, why, that, this if we're going to honor God and people's right to think, then that means, why are we going to separate? We hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident means there's no explanation. Everything is certain. There's no need to say anything because it's obvious. There's no need to talk about it. It's all done. Male, female, all done. No need to discuss anything anymore. That's it. Therefore, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, God. God's the creator, not evolution. They never even considered it. Never, no, no point. No. And if you don't understand God created you, then you can be a very happy communist, very happy Marxist, a pretty good happy socialist, because you don't have a God that created you. Now, all that are created, all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That means that no one else can have ownership. Each person has their right to be the person that they are, for all the things we do, think about, to become the person God wanted you to be when he created you in the first place. And all of you have the right, and you can't give that away. You can't give away your birthright. You either honor it or you don't. But you can't give it to anybody. It's non-transferable. Therefore, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And happiness, remember, is to find those sensations which spring from the heart, from your experience of good, pursuit of happiness, to enjoy good. To enjoy good. Good. God is good. Now, to enjoy good, that's what they're for. And happiness, to enjoy good. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, God's management of everything, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The last paragraph. Now, having said that, that's what it says. Pretty simple, pretty wonderful. That's what gives you the rights that you have. Now, so, what truths are there? Among these truths, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what truths? Well, they got the Bible. And they're reading the Bible. Not everyone's reading the Bible. That Ben Franklin is one kind, and Thomas Jefferson's another, and they're different. But they all have one thing in common. I'm going to do that tonight. You need that. The only way you survive is, what is the common denominator among us that puts aside all the differences and all the feelings and all the dumb things we do and all the good things we do and puts them all aside? And that has to unite us. That's what's happening today. To what? To divide us by race, by history, by everything. To take away words, male, female, to make it so there is no words that's usable anymore. There is no language. There are no statues. There are no histories. The books that are being put, oh, I forget the thing and whatever it is, 1619 or whatever, 1619 literature and that, to get rid of everything. So what? You have nothing. What's the whole point? Nothing. You have no history. You know nothing. The only thing you know is us, power, and what we tell you to do. That's communism. That's why millions of people in prison, millions dead, millions in prison, millions in slavery, millions in bondage, millions. We aren't talking 10 people. We're talking a huge population. We don't see it because, after all, we only have to be careful. We stay far enough away from the border so the people don't infiltrate and the gangs build a big fortress down the street from you. So, you know, with the drugs and everything, wow. Well, we're safe. Now, so what are the truths? God created us in his image and likeness. That's an awesome thing. Now, in order to get that, Isaiah 43... And to remind us, God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. He's given us this document. So, what were the truths? You and I are reading it. What would they read? Same thing. Same book. Same words. You got them in front of you. No question. Isaiah 43, picking up, just you know this, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen. Why? That you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. I'm the only God and the only Savior. What did we read in this? He's the only God who created everything of the universe. He's the creator who gave us our existence, our right to be born, our right to be born again. Now, over if you would please to John, the Gospel of John. Remember now, we're understanding, here we are sitting back then, and they're going to have to, we've got the British coming, and war is going on, and people are losing their lives, and they're going to be more so. Therefore, we're forced to do something. Either we give in and give it up, or we take a firm stand and stand against it. And do everything, give me liberty or give me death. Wonderful, wonderful, wow. Now, John, what would they have known? You're reading it, they're reading it. Same as you. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What are these truths? We read it in 2 John. What are we going to read? Truth. Hang on. Truth. These truths. I wonder what they are. We're going to separate because of these truths. We're going to, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, we're all backing off. We're going to honor God. No matter who, what, we're believers. We're first and foremost believers. All else is put aside. It changes for us. Now, so therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hang on. So you got it. So you get there. Over if I can, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Remember, all you're doing is looking, but that's the same thing they could do. What would they know about truth? The same thing we know about truth. John chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 14, verse 6, you know. For thus Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the truth. I am the truth. Wow, I am the truth. Verse 14, now verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What kind of the Spirit of God? How are we to honor you, Spirit of God? Because you're the Spirit of truth. That's the Spirit of truth. So if you kept reading, John 15, it's all over. They're going to keep reading. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, the Spirit of God, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify me. So where's truth? He's the God of truth. And the God of truth has written the truth of God. So here we are in order, looking and over, picking up if I can. Go over to John. Well, let's see for time. John. John and chapter 18. I'm interested. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the truth. And Pontius Pilate was interested. And John chapter 18, picking up in thought, please. In John 18, picking verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Why? That I should be a witness? What are you going to tell us that we need to know? I will bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. You want truth, the word truth, reality, the real thing, the real, the real things, truth. Wonderful, wonderful truth. So God, here's Pontius Pilate, the Lord. Verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Our Lord Jesus said, I want you to know the truth. I am the truth. Now, what is truth? Why? Because Pilate is what? Pilate is caught up. He's a Roman. He's caught up in all the gods. And here we are in Jerusalem, Judea, Judaism, the Talmud, and all the gods. Where's God? Where's God? Pilate. And here's the Lord Jesus going to be crucified. And they're sending him to him. Pilate wants to know, what on earth is truth anyway? Have you heard people say that? People don't know the truth. There is no truth. Now, communism. Therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to John and chapter 8, where you're here in John. And in John chapter 8, picking up in thought, you remember our Lord in his many dealings with the people, Pharisees and everyone else. Chapter 8, picking up the movement, if I can, in verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, abide, the word continue to abide like a branch in the vine, if you continue to abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, or genuinely, you guys are really my disciples. You're real. Not make-believe and not just hypocrites, not saying it, you really are, if you really believe. Wow. Now, verse 32, and you shall know the what? Truth. I am the truth, he said. And the truth will do what? Make you free. If I don't have the truth, I'm in bondage in error. I'm in bondage to darkness. I'm in bondage to death. I don't have anything. I'm not free. I'm in bondage. And so we're all in bondage apart from God's grace. Now, in the light of that, sliding down, if I can, the truth shall make you free. Sliding down again, as you know, of verse 36. If the Son shall make you free, liberty, you shall be free indeed, genuinely, actually, wonderfully, really. If you believe the word of God, what did you read in John 1:1? He is the word of God. I am the word. The words are my words. They're my words. Where do they come from? From me. I am the word. I am the communicator. I am the one that exposes and makes real the infinite, invisible God so you can enjoy him. That's the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, having said that, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Isn't that wonderful? Except, what are the people that are religious and got the Bible? They got the Old Testament. It doesn't do much good because you don't believe it. So therefore, if I can, verse 40. But, the Lord Jesus, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. No. Abraham is one person. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is another. So now, verse 44, sliding down. I'll read verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? My word is true. Truth. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do, for he is a murderer from the beginning, and, underlined in my little mind and heart, abode not in the truth. He had nothing to do with truth and reality. God is true. There is no truth apart from God. Anywhere. He is the creator. We read it in the Declaration. He's the God of all nature. He's the creator. And the creator has created the creations. Creations are nothing. It's the creator. Therefore, and if in fact God, the God of truth tells us the truth of God, and by telling the truth, how does us humans, what do we do? We're supposed to know the God of truth and the Word of God, the Word of truth, so that we can what? Tell the truth about God. We are created, humans are created to tell the truth about God, to make God publicly clear, plain, simple. We're created in His image and likeness. That's why you want a mouse. That's why you want an angel. You're created to be able to enjoy God, and for God to be comfortable when He sees you, He sees Himself. He sees Himself. The artist sees the picture. The picture shows Himself. God shows Himself in a most wonderful way. Wow. That's what God does. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you are of your father the devil. And he abode not in the truth, verse 44, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because, verse 45, now what did you guys think of this subject? I just told you, your father's the devil. Now what are you going to do? Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth about it, you believe me not. You don't believe me, do you? I'm telling you, you're a real sinner. You're going to die in your sins. No, 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 no. Wrong. I tell you the truth, and you don't want to know it. Wow. Hang on now. So in the process, over to John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, you'd recall, picking up, I can, verse 23, directly in the woman at the well, remember? Verse 23, 4:23. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers that are really worshiping God correctly shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the only way. How can I just know a few things? No. I want you to be real. I want the truth, the God of truth, the truth of God. I want you to be showing, that's your assignment, to show the truth of God. That's God of truth in a most wonderful way. Now, and therefore, worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must, compulsory, worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to come out on this. You have to honor God. So therefore, we worship God, like in the Psalm 29 and all that. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, etc. That's what it is. And there's no other way to replace that. Do you understand? It's God's presence. We're in it. And we need to understand and enjoy it. And it has nothing to do with your intellect, nothing to do with anything. It has to do with God being who He is. Do you understand? And you're just who you is. That's all you is. It's just you. And there's God. And quietness. And God's awesomeness. That's an atmosphere. That has to be created. Do you understand? I have no business up here if that can't be created. Teaching. No, it has to be. I can give you 1,000 lessons if I knew them, and 10 points about each one, and you could even memorize half of them and be very brilliant, but you wouldn't know God. Do you understand the difference? You don't know Him. I don't care if you can quote it backwards and forwards. You have to know Him. That's something God does, regardless of any. It's not, we don't do it. Do you understand? God does it. And when your heart's right and looking to God, God makes all that work. If you just sit down, you can do that. But most people do that. They're in and out. And 100 years from now, they're still the same. They never change at all. Well, I've been a believer 50 years. Good for you. What do you know? Nothing. Nothing. Your relationship to God is lousy. How's that? It's missing. It has to be there. Well, I can teach you. I don't care what you can do. I'm just telling you where it is, and that's what communicates. You know, I just said the other, if there was a thunderstorm, I hate getting sidetracked. If there was a thunderstorm, and here's a book about thunderstorms. You ready? And it has pictures in it, and tells you about lightning bolts and thunderstorms and everything, and you read it, and we read it. Now, and you can read it. Could you memorize this thunderstorm book? And you look at the pictures, the big pictures, little pictures. And then I take you out on a great 4th of July with lots of fireworks. And your little old heart, you got this? Your big heart, little hearts, I got this? And there's the fireworks. Now, you got your book? Are you reading your book? Now look at the pictures. You got the pictures? I got the pictures. Now look up. Boom, boom, boom. All over the place. Where did the fireworks get to you? The book is just the book. The experience overrides this. This helps understanding what you're seeing. You can't replace the experience of the fireworks. Do you understand? I don't care if you read 10 books about fireworks. You can't replace God. And that's where we're sitting. This is how God does it. I know it's hard to understand. And I care, and you do. Little ones and big ones and all of us. I'm telling you how God does it. That's my half of, I'm trying to help you understand something. And I know we have to try to fix it so that we can have something. And God bless us. Try to do it. We should try to do it. I'm just telling you, if this isn't happening, we have our history. Well, I think of a long history here. And I think of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And where are they? And they sat through everything, didn't they? Sat through Sunday school, 6 o'clock. We had all of them, sat through them. Whatever happened? Because if it doesn't click in the head, and we're trying to say, well, I did. What's like going to school? Most of us have graduated from high school, maybe. And we got through high school. And what's so good about graduating from high school? And you don't want to call it a commencement because that's what? That means the beginning. What you call high school is an end, right? It's an ending of having to open books, right? And the government will take care of you. You got it? Wow. So, I got sidetracked. I hated to do that because it's such a wonderful thing, God. They had to learn to fear God. And Israel and the people in our country had to what? They were seeking light in a world loving darkness. They were seeking life in a world enjoying being dead in sins. They were seeking liberty in a world of bondage. And they were seeking happiness when there was no hope. And they signed that declaration without even a question. Now, they didn't sign it on the 4th. Just John Hancock and the secretary did, Charles, whatever. But they did it a few days later. 56 of them, ultimately 61 of them, signed it. Their name's on the line. Their name. Wow. Now, having said that, so therefore these truths, We ought to pursue them. And if we don't pursue them, we're going to lose them. Our failure to appreciate, the declaration, which is yours, that belongs to every citizen. That's yours. You may have it in a little one like this, but that's yours. And if you don't practice it, which it isn't, it hasn't been practiced for too long a time, T-double-O, and therefore it is forgotten. Not even senators in our state and otherwise. They take the oath of office, it doesn't mean nothing to them. It's just something you say. And once you lose that, you lost the foundation. What does this sit on? Why does this exist? Because at rest, if you had a Bible right there, in your Bible, in your hand, I'm going to put this right down on top of it. This is from that book in your hand. They may not want this. They may not have this. But I'll tell you what, you have that book in your hand. And that's God's book, God's word, a copy, wonderful copy, same as this is a copy. Same as this is a copy. Wonderful. That Bible is God's word right in front of you. And you're able to go and claim it. I do and you do. To love God's word. I would die for God's word. And so would you. Without even blinking an eyeball. And I've been through it more than once. Whatever price it has to pay, I wouldn't trade God's word. I wouldn't trade God for anybody, including Jeanette, who tolerates me. Do you understand? We hold these truths to be self-evident, and therefore they have to reject. They have to reject the king and go to war. And in going to war, they're going to go and pursue what they have to pursue. What is that? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And all of our documents. You know, when you pledge allegiance to the flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, et cetera, right? One nation under God, indivisible. Do you remember what the last words are? Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Every time you pledge. That we don't even pledge the legion anymore, do we? When's the last time you pledged allegiance, you say? We don't. What do we do about liberty? We don't care 2 cents about liberty. We don't even understand what it is to be free. We're used to a bondage. Our world, our country has got captivated into a system, and we're caught by it. But what you're doing, and we're doing, oh, gotta catch it later. That book, that's God's word to you, and you're representing that book. That book, God's word, when you stand up, you carry that book. You bring that book wherever you go. If with God's word is in your heart, you're a signer. You're a real signer. I belong, you see? I belong. Are you really a Christian? Yes. Absolutely. Do you believe God? Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, don't go. No, the system's lousy. Going the wrong way. God has to help us. I'm sorry I got sidetracked. I was trying to help you. You got to understand, that's what we're up against right now. And to the measure that we'll find believers in the remnant, the church will never be what it was. Do you understand? What I have known as the church and what you have, we tried to head to, we're never going to get it again. Nope. We're in a whole nother world now. So we're like the water buffalo in India, Africa, or whatever it is. We're going to go and have the little calves in the middle, and we circle. Here comes the lions. And what do? Each buffalo gets in a big circle. You've seen them. Big circle, put their head down, big horns. If I was a lion, I'm not going in. And the lions don't go in. The little kids, little calves, just moo and eat the food and sleep. And the water buffalo just stand there, and the lions aren't going to do a thing. What we're doing is we have a remnant. I'm trying to strengthen the remnant. I wish the rest of the people were here, because they'll never hear it and never know it, and they won't care 2 cents about what we try to think about. And they're just going to add to the weakness, weakness, weakness. Down we go, down we go, down we go. Because you don't know. Well, I never heard. Can you explain? No, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's where we are. I got to quit. I appreciate your patience. And God help us. It's a wonderful thing. And the book in your hand, that's God's wonderful word to you. And you have that book. That's right. That's my Bible. My Bible. God's word. That's right. And I honor it. I believe it. I believe it. But, that's right. You're an odd duck. Uh-huh, I am. I'm going to be an odd duck. In fact, when God saved you, he made you odd ducks. Isn't that true? God saved you and made you freaks. Foreigners. New creation. A bunch of... Well, I'll close with it. It's a wonderful thing. Yankee Doodle went to town. Yankee Doodle. Yankee Doodle riding on a pony. Yankee Doodle. What's a little boy, all the verses. The little boy stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni. And then he goes down. And you know, it was a way to mock the Christians. To mock them. Because the word doodle means stoop. Dummy. And the British would say, "You Yankee Doodles. You doodles, Yankee doodles," you say. And they run around, and you have seen it with a wonderful poster of them marching with a flag and everything. Yankee doodle, they were doodles going to war, you're right? Doodles, Yankee doodles, we're going to war. We're Yankee believers, doodles, standing up in a world that says, "It was a foolish thing for Christ to die. There are a bunch of stoops that did that. Who could ever believe that?" Ah, I'm a stoop. I'm a doodle. You call us what you want. But tell you what, we're running a course that you can't compete with. And the world can't. Think of all the things we just did. You are invincible. God will keep you till the last second he wants you to be on earth. Do you understand that? And so you roll up your sleeves in spite of everything. And the British are coming. We're going to look at it. Wow. We got to quit. Thank you for your patience. Eat fast. We'll pray. Our Father and God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you that we can even consider these things. Even a little bit, God, to try to understand them in a way that doesn't leave us bankrupt and stupid. So, God, thank you very, very much. And we'll look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.